So yeah, that's a piece of technology that can serve really specific use cases. It can help you optimize customer lifetime value. It will help drive improvements across really kind of any of those like RFM metrics, recency, frequency, monetization type metrics that you might track. So yes, that's a piece of technology that can serve really specific use case. Do you want to on your analysts, they might have a story in mind. We want to have a clear idea of how our users interact with our digital assets across devices and environments, and we want it all in one place for both our website and mobile apps. Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey. There we go.
That was good. I think it's recording.
Hello and good morning.
Good evening, Dude. How are you doing?
I'm all good. Just saw an email from one of our colleagues. Like, I was telling him that, you're an early riser, and then he told me Patrick takes early riser to a completely different level.
Yeah, I like to get to the gym and get that over with, start the day, and it gives me more overlap to collaborate with all of you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, definitely, I do like that. You're an early riser, and like we don't have much issues working with each other in our time zones. It's just was the funniest thing ever, because I think you and him like live 1 hour. Like, I think there is 1 hour between you guys. You
Okay.
in Mountain Time. I think he's in what is it, California, I
Oh,
think.
Ferris. There's, yeah.
Ferris,
Yeah.
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 I
He's
think
in
he's
Pacific time zone. Yep.
Pacific time, yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yep.
It's funny. I just thought of it as one of the funniest things I've seen.
Well,
So
ask him about our hunting trips, because we really take getting up early to the next level.
oh, damn. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so as we always do, a little throwback. So we did kind of make technology life harder, and we kind of been dealing hard on technology and being hard on technology. As you know, one more tool is the going meme within the Digital Disruption Podcast. One more tool is all we need to hit digital maturity.
That's right.
But I think it's time for I think it's time for technology to redeem itself and prove to us that it's not the one more tool thing that is going on. Although, like, it has been brought up as the be all fix all, and nothing in the world is be all fix all. or else, you know, we wouldn't have world anything problems. But I would definitely wanna go over the how does technology fit within the tech stack, within the digital maturity and media and buying and different
Yes.
like data kind of tools, because we've written and we've talked about composable architecture before, which is technology, and we praised it for the potential that it has. But you know, what else? What else is being done injustice within within people searching for the all-in-one app or all-in-one tool that does anything and everything, and you know, tucks them to bed in the evening and tells them a small story that about how they're going to be getting, you know, $100 million of funding and stuff like that. You know, the tech CEO tech CEO stories that they sleep to. So definitely
Yeah.
wanna what's up?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely I think we've hit technology on the head a lot to say technology doesn't equal digital maturity. Sometimes humorously, sometimes I'm sure we've sometimes taken it a little too far, but I mean, the bottom line is digital maturity is about your capabilities as an organization related to delivering digital experiences, customer engagement, media activation, measurement, analytics, right? All these things. So of course technology is part of digital maturity. We would be, you know, naive and foolish to say otherwise. I think the big thing for us is it needs to serve a set of larger objectives. Technology needs to serve a set of larger objectives. What are you trying to do as a business? What is the, I guess, larger landscape that you do business in, i.e., your competitors, as well as the way that the digital landscape as a whole shapes what consumers are expecting and getting used to, et cetera, right? So you are impacted by that. Just like if I sell dog toys on Amazon, I'm not just competing with other people who sell dog toys on Amazon, right? I'm competing with a whole bunch of retailers who are selling on Amazon. There's all kinds of noise on Amazon, not just, you know, other pet, you know, providers. So, right. So there's similarly, you're not just competing with your direct competition. You're not just needing to address the consumer expectations of your direct competitors. You're needing to rise to the occasion of what the digital landscape as a whole is facilitating, both bad and good, right? In terms of, you know, right? When there's a huge scandal and Facebook gets sued for a whole bunch of money because they let Cambridge Analytica use a whole bunch of first party data that they shouldn't have. That didn't just affect Facebook. That affected everybody in our space, and rightly so, because people started asking questions. Just like in a previous episode, we talked about the outrage about transparency and agencies and media practices that, you know, it lasted a certain window of time. Outrage about, you know, data leakage and data security and data privacy, right? There's just these waves of consumer sentiment, but they don't just impact the companies that make the news headline. They impact everybody. And in fact, the very reason why we are faced with the things we're faced today with as an industry, third-party cookies going away, proliferating privacy regulations, all of this, the reason we're faced with this, we did it to ourselves because of all the practices that were unethical, and or at worst unethical and at best careless, right? So, that said, and technology is a part of all that anyway. Okay, so back to off the soapbox, back on track here. Dylan, help me get back on track here. We're talking about technology and its role in digital maturity, right?
Yep. How do you, I mean, how do you keep yourself in control of
Yeah.
not going addicted on on tech.
Yeah, it's, I think it comes down to this having a, you need to have a roadmap. You need to have this kind of rubric in place to understand like what are the capabilities that you're trying to build. So, well, I mean, one of the best ways to align technology to business objectives is to really have like your roadmap should be aligned to use cases, like really specific things you want to do, right? Like, I want to be able to send my existing customers offers, promotions, new product releases, and lifestyle content that aligns to their stated preferences for a specific communication channel, frequency, and topic type, right? That's a really solid use case, right? So then you have to say, okay, can Joe, I guess we'll bring Joe and Jenny back into the mix this week. Can Joe and Jenny sitting at their keyboards, manually managing customer engagement, do this? No. I mean, they can send emails, of course, yes. And they can even schedule emails through an email marketing platform. And they could schedule SMS blasts to people who want SMS, but they can't really automate it. That way, right? Just kind of through their own. I mean, they could write their own program or something in Python, and maybe they could automate it. But that's not really an effective use of their time, right? So you, there's lots of good tools available, right? Marketing automation and customer engagement tools. So this is a great piece of technology. If you are an e-commerce retailer, then having a customer engagement platform for about probably 90 to 95% of e-commerce brands, a customer engagement tool could be a really nice addition to your tech stack if you don't already have one. It will allow you to optimize and automate those different customer engagement channels. If you buy a really good tool and implement it properly, you can have lots and lots of highly segmented, very specific user journeys. You can easily respect your customers' stated preferences for the kinds of communication they want to receive from you, how often, what platform, etc. So yeah, that's a piece of technology that can serve really specific use cases. It can help you optimize customer lifetime value. It will help drive improvements across really kind of any of those like RFM metrics, recency, frequency, monetization type metrics that you might track. So yeah, so yes, that's a piece of technology that can serve a really specific use case. Do you want to un your analysts, they might have a story in mind. We want to have a clear idea of how our users interact with our digital assets across devices and environments. And we want it all in one place for both our website and mobile apps. Okay, GA4 would be great. Have data streams for all of your apps, have data stream for your website. Boom, Bob's your uncle. Now you have that data collecting in GA4. Now is it, again, I've said this before, should GA4 now be considered your single source of truth? Ha, right? No, we don't believe in single source of truth anymore. We're not religious fanatics. We don't believe in single source of truth. We believe that you use the right tool for the right job. In digital marketing, nobody believes, or there are some people that still believe in single source of truth, but there are still people believe in unicorns as well. So, but we believe that you should use the right tool for the right job, which means that in all likelihood, you probably have multiple sources of truth for different purposes. And for any single purpose, you might have one source of truth. Like, let's say you might have one source of truth for your website behavioral data, right? You might have for mobile measurement, you might maybe you have two sources of truth, right? Because you have both a mobile measurement partner and a digital
Jira for.
analytics solution, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so GA4 has no impression data for media.
Oh, okay.
So GA4, just by definition, cannot be a single source truth for your media data, right? You're going to need other ways of assessing view and impression-based data for media. That's by design. I'm not, we love GA4. We're helping clients utilize GA4 every day for variety of purposes, but assessing impression performance is not one of them.
On mobile, I think I was talking that you can have MMP, like a mobile measurement platform or mobile measurement partner, and GA4. Though I do
Exactly.
not know the full extent of how good is GA4 for mobile tracking and mobile analytics. I think
I
it's
mean, it's
good. I
not
mean, I'm not
specialized.
fixated on GA4.
No, it's not specialized in mobile the way a true MMP is, right? Like an Adjust or a Apps Flyer or Kochava, whatever, right? Like but GA4 is by design meant to bring in data stream, right? It has a, for one, it has an agnostic data model, based around events that, so like unlike Universal Analytics, which was not good at sort of looking at like you really couldn't look at app and website together in a really meaningful way. GA4 by design can. Does that mean it has all of the strengths on the mobile side of things to look at mobile app performance? Probably
Probably not.
not. But it is definitely a step up from Universal Analytics in that regard, and being able to bring in the multiple data streams into a single property, especially if you're using, if you have authenticated, a big enough percentage of your users who are in an authenticated state, having that kind of insight kind of across platforms into user behaviors can be really powerful, especially if you're using the BigQuery export, where you can kind of get down into the really nitty-gritty of the data, right? That can be really powerful. So we've talked about, so I guess let's just like lay out a few things, like what most digitally mature enterprises are going to have in their toolkit, right? We just talked about how a customer engagement tool could be really, really helpful. If you're an e-commerce platform, it can be really, really helpful. Do you need it? Not necessarily. Like you might have some built-in functionality in your e-commerce engine or things like that, but it's not going to get you, like once you get past a certain scale and you want, all the levers, all the capabilities, you probably, it's something you want to consider investing in.
Yeah.
Do you need some form of an analytics tool? If you want to do actual sophisticated behavioral analysis, you want to have some kind of holistic idea of like click-based attribution for media, yeah, you should have an analytics tool in your toolkit. You can ingest analytics data directly into your data warehouse. So I mean, if you want to take the time to build that infrastructure and kind of more or less just kind of stream data, event names with event parameters, user properties, like you could ingest that data directly into a data warehouse at this point relatively easily. So if you have, by all means, if you have the chops to do it, you could sort of circumvent an actual analytics platform and just collect that event stream directly and then analyze that event stream. But you do need some behavioral data in order to do really good analysis and insights work, no doubt about it. Depending on your paid media, you may or may not need some enterprise, paid media management tools, whether that would be an ad server like Campaign Manager 360 or Flash Talking, or do you, and you may need a DSP solution. One nice thing is you DSPs have become a bit more democratized in terms of entry price points. You know, if you wanted to use a tool like a DV Display and Video 360 within the Google environment, you can through partner, you know, bring that technology in-house, you know, for fairly cost effectively at this point. In a prior life, I used to sell those licenses and manage those licenses. And you can also take advantage of a number of sort of mid-tier, more niche players, like say like a StackAdapt or Basis, where you can, you know, really relatively small advertisers can get into that programmatic space relatively easily. Now, again, we just in a prior episode talked about all of the pitfalls of programmatic media buying. When you bring these kind of things in-house, please take the time to learn to use the tools and learn all the levers at your disposal, or at least learn the key levers at your disposal. Again, the technology alone is not digital maturity. How you utilize that technology is the digital maturity piece. So it can open up a scale of media you may not be used to. That scale is a double-edged sword. It gives you a lot more opportunity for reach on your target audiences. It gives you a lot of opportunity for mistakes, fraud, and garbage at a much higher scale. So DSP, so demand side platform or DSP could definitely be a warranted piece of tech depending on your paid media scale. An ad server to go along with that. A CDP, this is kind of, we, you know, Dawood, you mentioned composable. So CDP can mean a lot of things at this point. It can be a kind of a standalone platform that, right, that ingests first party data, like a say, like a Tealium, Segmentlytics, whatever, Simon Data. It can also be your data warehouse itself with a composable CDP layer on top of it, where you're actually doing all of that audience segmentation and audience publication and all of those things. You're actually doing that as a layer on top of your data warehouse without actually ingesting that data anywhere into a platform. So that a CDP can mean a lot of different things, but a customer data platform is, you know, again, it depends on your scale of what you're doing, right? You need to tailor it. You need to tailor your needs and prioritize your needs to the different use cases you're trying to serve. And you need to decide if you need a vendor to support you with it, or if you can, are you going to build that capacity in-house? So this is another thing we've belabored, right? It's just, you need to have the skills, you need to have the use case to get the value out of it. You need to have the skills to get the value out of it. You need to have the process to get the value out of it. So if it requires integration, right, with your data pipelines, your data infrastructure, like one, do you have that data infrastructure in place? Two, do you have the process in place to actually, you know, use the APIs and connectors to get it where it needs to go, et cetera, right? So this is why it's always, to go back to your point, Dude, it's never about just the technology, but they these
Never
are
have
crucial.
been
What do you think there?
but
What do
definitely, yeah, I mean, I do agree. I mean, we definitely have seen instances of tools that, you know, being thrown into the mix and expecting them, like, abracadabra is gonna be fixing this this debacle, this this kind of issue, but doesn't happen like this now.
No, but they're, and I mean, what do you think about timelines? Do you think most people who engage in this kind of digital transformation journey, do you think they have reasonable timelines?
It's hard to say, but I think no, truly, I don't think so. No, everyone expects ROI yesterday, and they don't give enough time for, like, because as your data maturity, your understanding and full utilization of a tool is also maturing. You understand it more, you understand your customers with it more, and you understand how your customers interact with it even more. Like, let's take an example and say we're on an e-commerce like store, and et voilà, we have installed like we've bought a new CEP tool to help us with, marketing. A month goes by and nothing has changed really yet, and you see questions like, huh? Why hasn't like why don't we see more ROI? Like, why aren't we seeing more revenue? Why aren't we seeing more engagement? And I was like, and the people who are working on the tool are gonna be like, well, we're doing the work, like we're not slacking, but it takes time. And so it takes time for government. It takes time for management to sponsor and to chill on the sponsor of like the timeline, because it will not work like in a night or in a day. Like, it doesn't work like this. So I think some timelines are extremely stupidly long, and people like, I don't know why would you have like, let's say analytics. Sometimes, because analytics aren't really linked with ROI or like immediately giving you revenue. Some say, like some take too long. And sometimes it's not the issue of like an agency that you're working with, it's issue with internal developers and internal people who are not really cooperating. Because
That's a
you're
really,
overwhelming them.
yeah, no, it's a really good point. And analytics is one of those interesting ones, right? And it kind of comes back to this use case thing because, boy, you can, like, it's amazing if you actually look at analytics from the standpoint of use cases and you when you want to do like really meaningful analysis and insights works. If you formulate business questions that you want to take action based on answering those questions, you can very quickly through serial analysis show very strong ROI from your analytics because you uncover opportunities for improvement and it helps you know where to put your eyes. But many organizations fail to do that and therefore they don't prioritize because they don't see the value out of it, they don't prioritize putting it in place. So yeah, you're right. You can have very like idiotically long roadmaps for things that you don't value as an organization. Absolutely. And
Exactly.
similarly, for tools like a customer engagement tool, where you short term, you actually can get quite a bit of value out of it. You still need to plan for, it's still going to take your team time to learn the platform. That means like kindergarten, you know what I mean? Like, you know what the tool is, you know how to log in, you know how to do push buttons and see things. Then you develop a little bit more competency with it, right? You have to actually do the hard work of mapping out the journeys and segments, right? And the campaigns that you want to go along with that, right? These flows, right? You have to implement them. You're not going to be able to implement all of them all at once, right? Those things are all going to take some time. The system needs to build data. So, just if everything went right, you're still in, you shouldn't really be expecting like full value out of that thing for 60 to 90 days. And even then, it's still not going to be at where it could be as a fully mature program, right? So, yeah.
Do you have a tool that, I could kill a colleague with without anyone knowing? If there is a tool like this, I would love to know it. Just send it my way.
Unfortunately, that's in the nefarious and unethical category of technology that you'd have to ask somebody who regularly uses generative AI, because I'm thinking they could probably help you, but I'm for the humanizing use of technology, so I wouldn't be able to help you there, but
Oh, where's the CEO generative idea went? Come
Yeah, that
on.
was meant to be a help to humanity, not to hurt anybody.
Which humanity is this?
We could get part of the CEO salary could be redistributed to the employees, but I don't want to kill anybody with a tech piece of technology. Is somebody being loud in the background over there? Am I detecting some frustration? I
It
didn't
is. Hopefully, it didn't come in the recording.
hear anything. I can't speak for
Nice noise canceling for the win.
Yeah, I was gonna say that is a piece of technology. You don't have to go so far as outrage, murder. It's just noise canceling microphones.
Oh yeah, I mean, long live NVIDIA and their amazing noise canceling software.
No, so
Okay,
we've talked
so
about a lot of technology. We talked about noise canceling technology. It's really helpful for what we're doing right now. I think one area we didn't talk about yet, I think, again, it's about scale. Not every organization needs these tools, but one we're seeing increasingly bring value also is like customer experience platforms or digital experience platforms, digital experience analytics tools. You hear them referred to as different things, but like say like Content Square or Hotjar, right? We're getting insights into how content and interaction points on your website, forms, downloadables, how your CTAs and just page layouts, how the ex digital experience you're delivering is either sort of serving you or failing you, right? And one of the nice things about, I mean, you can get some of that insight out of your analytics tools, but one of the nice things about an enterprise digital experience like analytics tool is it kind of surfaces it in ways that are a bit more actionable, right? It kind of tells you the ROI of making an improvement, right? They do a good job of like putting it in terms of, that make sense to product owners or people responsible for revenue, right? Like you can kind of say, wait, like this page is suboptimal in this way, this block of content, whatever, for whatever, whatever reason, it's like if you made an improvement of 5% here, it would translate to X ROI, right? Or X dollars, right? That's a really helpful, kind of, what it does is it kind of helps prevent that sort of like paralysis by analysis kind of mode where you just keep constantly looking at data, trying to figure out where to make a move. Those kinds of enterprise tools, they point out the places that are likely to have the most impact, right? So they help you, like they inherently help you kind of prioritize it, the digital experience improvements you might want to make. So they can be very efficient and effective. Just the way a really well executed testing plan helps you prioritize what you're going to test and how you're going to assess the impact and roll that out for the rest of your, so do you need it to be successful? No, but we're talking about enhancing your capabilities as an organization. So if you have the budget, or if you find yourself running up against limitations in your current capabilities to optimize digital experience for your users, that's where a tool like that could really play. So again, it really comes down to having use cases in mind, having a larger strategic objective that you're serving and aligning around, and then committing to, so it's not committing to buying a tool, it's committing to onboarding, utilizing, integrating, and optimizing that tool, right? So yeah. But all that technology that we've discussed can be really useful, in some cases crucial, And it plays a big role in scale, specifically scalability, because most of the things you want to scale in our industry require some level of automation, and more and more embedded use of kind of AI and ML type functionality. And the last thing you want to do is start just scaling garbage. You really want to scale things that have been properly set up with good inputs in terms of data, creative messaging, experiences, et cetera.
That being said, end the episode on a simple question. What is the most overrated tech piece or tech tool that you've seen lately, and what is the most underrated tech piece or tool that you have seen? So
Most
overrated and underrated.
overrated, underrated. This one's going to be super controversial.
Oh, I love this. Hit me.
Over most overrated, Chat GPT.
Okay. Why?
I think people are trying to utilize it for things that it's sort of misplaced for, honestly. They're mistaking it for something it's not. Like, I think the people that are utilizing it as an aid, right, as to make their workflows more efficient, to retrieve information, who are like, if people who are customizing it, like say, like to make their own customer service people's like retrieval of information more efficient and things like that. I think that those are like really good use case. I think, sort of like trying to like write children's books with Chat GPT and like this just like nonsense. I mean, this kind of stuff is just nonsensical. Like, and people like losing their minds because Gemini can't like distinguish between Elon Musk tweets and Hitler, like in terms of like ethical equivalencies. Like, why would you want a generative AI tool to be your moral compass? Like, this is the height of insanity, right? So that's my opinion. Like, we got bigger problems if you think civilization's going to come to an end because a generative AI tool cannot make moral judgments. We are way deeper down the rabbit hole of problems than I thought. But underrated, most underrated tool. The human brain, all of these, all of the technology relies on having good use cases, creativity, a well thought out, companies that do really good at this stuff, they keep people like you and I and our colleagues in mind when they're doing. They know there are human beings buying the products, right? They know that there are families like making decisions like, can we afford this or that, right? They know that there are actually like, college kids like struggling through their exams, maybe I'm going to buy something, like maybe I'm going to buy a generic brand this month because it's less expensive, right? And inflation has been really bad, right? There's like really good companies, like they use the technology to facilitate things that are really genuinely like dynamic, delightful, thoughtful from a human perspective, right? So I think that like, I think the human brain is still like the most crucial piece of technology in digital marketing and digital experience. And it always will be.
That's a fire ending. That's a fire ending. Okay, I guess that's it. That's the human mind shall prevail, I think.
I guess the mind in general. I'm not to say humans only have the minds, but
Yeah,
maybe dog, my dog, they're happy and they eat every day and they run around the yard wagging their tails. So maybe the dog mind will prevail. Who knows? But
I wish I was this happy, but
Yeah.
all right, that's good. I'll see you next week, and hopefully there will be some changes in the seats. Maybe we'll see new faces. Dot dot dot.
Hey, well, yeah, we've been working hard to get a lineup of some guests. So yeah, that'll be fun. Looking forward to that.
All right, I'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good, my friend. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.